Welcome to Loud and Lifted, the podcast where we turn up the volume on women rewriting the rules of leadership and success. I'm your host, Betsy Hamm. Today's guest is Jill Abey, a career success coach and the force behind Sister Smart, a leadership program that helps women rise into director and VP roles with clarity and confidence. Jill works with high-performing women to expand their influence, develop their leadership strengths, and navigate gender bias without burning out or playing small. In this episode, we dig into beliefs and behaviors that quietly hold us back, like the busyness trap, people-pleasing, and your inner critic. If you ever felt like you had to hustle harder just to prove yourself or wonder why confidence doesn't always come with competence, this conversation is for you. Jill Abey, welcome to Loud and Lifted. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to talking.
Yes. So, you know, Loud and Lifted is all about women supporting women. And of course, a lot of professional development conversations from women who have been there and done that and just leadership lessons that we can learn. And that's literally your job. You support women and you're helping them grow professionally. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
It's true. That's what I think about all day, every day. And you can ask my husband. It's even in evenings and weekends. I'm just sort of obsessed with how we can help women move up through the corporate ladder, basically. And I say that because it's not always the corporate ladder. Sometimes it's, you know, heading off to do an entrepreneurial thing, or, you know, there's so many different ways that we can make a living and be fabulously successful in what success means to us. And so that's one of the things that I really love, is to help women find what that is. And, you know, if that is getting promoted within an organization, how can they get that visibility and have people see what their true potential is? Because I feel like so many women get overlooked because they're not that classic male model that shows, you know, that executive presence, that's kind of the classic mold that we're trying to fit in sometimes. And the truth is that we don't have to fit into it. We can do it our way and bring our unique talents to the workforce and do what we love the way we love it and still be able to be successful within an organization.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I love that. That's like your daily focus. That's very cool. And what an ability to make an impact. And it's, you know, funny, I grew up in a very big corporate organization, went to a very small corporate organization, and didn't really think about the entrepreneurial piece of it and like sort of running your own business until this recent phase of my career. But it's so interesting, especially starting this podcast, the women I talk to, whether they are running their own clothing company or, you know, CEOs, everyone sort of has the same battles that they have to fight, or a lot of the internal, we'll call them demons, that they're dealing with. So as you've gone through your career supporting women, what are some of the biggest things or challenges that you see really across the board that is really stopping women or making it a little bit more challenging for them in order to grow?
It's a good question. I think that the overarching thing that women come to me for is confidence. And how do we build confidence? I think that's the tricky part, because right. I think for women that confidence is built in many ways. Men kind of do this fake it till you make it thing. And then they, you know, men are really great at learning by doing, and women tend to like to learn it first and then do it. And it's just how we're all raised. And so I think there's a certain, you know, kind of recipe that helps women to start to see themselves as that bigger version of themselves. You know, I was just listening to this fabulous book today, and she said, she used the analogy of a snake, how a snake grows and then they shed their skin. As they're growing more and more, they're shedding their skin, and that allows them the ability to get bigger, and they can't get bigger until they shed that skin. And so I think that's one of the things that we really need to do as women. And the shedding of the skin is the mindset work that we really need to do to be able to see ourselves in that bigger role. Because a lot of women will hold themselves back just thinking, oh no, that's not me. You know, oh, I couldn't do that. Well, I don't really see myself as that. You know, I could never. I mean, I told myself when I was VP, I was a number three person in the company. And I said, I never wanted to be the top person. And guess what? I am today is, you know, the leader of a company. Right. And I am way more visible than I would ever have been at that, you know, leading that company. And so all of this is just mindset work and limiting beliefs that hold us back. And so I think that that's underlying everything. Like, there's a whole bunch of tactics and things that we need to do and strategies and, you know, navigating politics and building your network and, you know, your visibility and how you're presenting yourself and all, there's all of that.
Right.
But you can't do any of that until you get the mindset piece done first.
Oh, that makes so much sense. And, you know, every single episode has talked about confidence. And, you know, obviously the women we're talking to are in higher positions or started their own company. So whether they make it or they make it, like, they still talk about the importance of confidence. And to your point, it's great for like, oh yes, I need to be more confident. But how do you do that? And the mindset work is very interesting. So how does somebody even start to focus on the mindset?
One of the first things to do is to think about your limiting beliefs. And so, you know, you can just ask ChatGPT what are limiting beliefs, and it can give you a list of them, and you can kind of check off. Yeah, I got that one. I got that one. I remember doing that. It was a list of about 100, and I checked off like 65 of them.
You're saying literally ask ChatGPT limiting beliefs, like that?
Yeah, like, you know, because it's, you can Google this stuff too, but I think we all do ChatGPT now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can kind of look at the list and say, okay, which one of those feels true to me, and then you can go about flipping those. And in our program, we do a lot of work on what's called the saboteurs. And this is some work with positive intelligence. It's work by Shirzad Shamin. And we use an app guided program. It's called the PQ Bootcamp that we do. And it's some of my clients' favorite work because these limiting beliefs are all formed by saboteurs. And there's the brilliance of Shirzad's work is that he did the factor analysis and boiled down all the saboteurs to 10 different saboteurs that are kind of universal that, you know, we develop these saboteurs as kids because we're, you know, when you're in such a vulnerable situation and you don't really understand the world, you kind of make up stories as to why things happen. And so these saboteurs are universal experiences that we all have as kids from being vulnerable, and they stay with us into adulthood. They stay with us forever, but how we work with them changes, and they can really hold you back until you start doing this work because it's, that like the universal one that we have is called the judge. And so that's that voice. It's like, oh yeah, you know, you're never going to make it. You know, it's because the judge judges you, the other people and the environment. So it's that kind of negative Nancy voice in our heads. Yep. That's always dragging us down and always saying, well, it's not going to work out anyhow. So why bother? And that's a voice that, you know, basically runs all day, every day in most human beings' heads. And so it's when we really start to work with that and learn how to say, okay, I hear you, but I'm going to go ahead and do this other thing anyhow. And, you know, or that's not true because, and, you know, we can start to have, you know, kind of some relationship with that saboteur. And, you know, I call it, you know, we're kind of dancing with it instead of it having it be that kind of boat anchor that's like dragging us down. So it's
interesting. So there's 10 saboteurs, and then that plays into the limited beliefs.
Yeah. And so, okay. You know, when we have these limiting beliefs, we can also flip those. So let's say I have a belief of I'm always disorganized. You can flip it and just start telling yourself, actually, I'm quite organized, and it's not going to feel true. I mean, some of them I've worked on, you know, I'm like laughing at myself as I'm saying it to start, but it's amazing when you start telling yourself, oh, actually, so a real life example is my calendar. I'm terrible with calendars. And I used to be the person that, you know, they would call me, I'd be out shopping for some office supplies for the trade show. And they would call me and they'd be like, the printer's here with your proofs, you know, and sitting in the lobby waiting for you. And because I have ADHD, so I have the time blindness. And so, you know, I used to always tell myself I was terrible with calendars. And so what I did to flip that is I said, that's not like me. And whenever I had a calendar snafu, I was like, that's not like me. Actually, I'm really good with my calendar. And so that was the one that I was like literally laughing at myself when I started saying it. But honestly, I still have occasional calendar snafu, but nothing like what it used to be. And I'm really aware of my calendar all the time. You know, being a coach, I do have to be aware of it all the time. But it's really changed how I feel about it and how I see myself. And so that makes a difference. And it makes you start behaving differently when you start telling yourself a different story.
Ooh, I like that. You start behaving differently when you start telling yourself a different story. That's good. That's definitely one of our key takeaways for sure. And it's funny because I was thinking as you were saying that an example that comes to my mind is when I was first starting off my career as a marketing person. And of course, marketing people, especially 20 some years ago, would get a bad rap about accounting or just not understanding numbers, right? And you start to believe that. And I just maybe wasn't exposed to it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be that marketing person who doesn't understand the finances and the numbers. So granted, I went to get my MBA, which was helpful, but I would correct people. I'm like, I'm not bad with numbers. I'm fine. Like I can review spreadsheets. I can review P&Ls. Like I'm not going to necessarily create it, but like, I'm fine. And I had to like convince myself and do a little work on the side to get better. But yeah, it was like, and if you say that, then I feel like other people are saying that. Like if you're telling me you're bad at your calendar and you miss something, I'm like, oh, well, yeah, Jill, you're always bad at your calendar. Like it just, people start to believe that around you.
Exactly. It's cognitive dissonance is what they call it, where you want to behave like what you say or what you think. And so when you start changing what you think, you'll instinctively start to change your behavior because your brain wants to connect those two together and have it be true.
Interesting. That's so cool. So what else do you think is one of the challenges that women need to overcome in order to be successful? That's a big one. That's a huge one. We could talk probably an hour about just that. But what else do you continue to see that you're helping women in leadership work through?
One of the big things that we work on is executive presence, because often women don't put enough time on that. They get criticized for executive presence for a lot of reasons, and only one of them is that they actually need more executive presence. A lot of times it's code for we don't see you as a leader. And that can be that you're not acting strategically enough. That can be a lot of things. But when it actually comes to executive presence, we do need that. And we do need to level it up at every level that we're at. And so, you know, thinking about the presence that you need to be portraying as that next level leader, because the truth is that women get hired based on their performance and men get hired based on their potential. And so you have to show them you can do the job before you're going to get the job.
Interesting.
And part of that's having the right presence for it.
And can you give a few details? I totally get executive presence, and I can't tell you how many times I heard, especially when I went to a big organization, people being told that. And sometimes you're like, okay, I can see that. If for the next level, other times you're like, is that your excuse for strategy or whatever. So, you know, what are some of those elements that tend to hold women back when it comes to executive presence?
So let's define it first for those who aren't familiar with it. Executive presence is that special something that tells people that you're the leader, and you've seen it. You've seen somebody walk into the room and you're like, oh, they're the boss. And you can see it in pictures. And so it's hard to define because it's a feeling. And so Sylvia Ann Hewlett has the most simple definition of it. It's communication plus gravitas plus appearance. Now, what is gravitas? That's a little bit hard to define well. But
can you spell that too? I'm just kidding.
But it's comprised of, in our program, we use the Bates communication model because it's a little bit more sophisticated as far as it has a lot more nuance to it. It has 15 different facets. The facets that I find that women most often need to work on is the assertiveness piece, which is something that actually I think almost everybody needs to work on. It's not just women, but it is something that women, it's hard to be assertive because assertiveness is about taking on healthy conflict and resolving things in a way that doesn't shut others down. And so, you know, we have a lot of people pleasing and perfectionism kind of influences in how women are raised. So that's something that's really common, is that women feel like they don't want to make waves, often because of those things. So that one can be a big challenge. And then authenticity is another one that's really a big deal, because women want to feel authentic and they don't want to give up who they are and their talents to try to fit into some mold. And so that's why we work a lot on how can you bring your authentic self in, you know, what is your authentic self? Like really understanding yourself, like you know, we walk around in these bodies all day, but we don't necessarily know ourselves. And so that's actually the first step in our program, is getting to know yourself. And then we work on executive presence. And so when you're really confident about who you are and that you know who you are, then you can bring that out to the world in a much bigger way. And, you know, thinking about how you project yourself and, you know, how you connect with others is also really important. And then, you know, just how you're treating people. So what's the actual social intelligence that you're bringing to your work? Mm-hmm. That's important too.
And do women tend to be stronger at the social emotional intelligence than men as leaders?
I find that in my research, women feel very confident in knowing what they're feeling, but they're not necessarily so confident in the emotional regulation piece. So sometimes the emotions are taking the reins, and that's the piece that they're struggling with more. For guys, it's more knowing what they're feeling is the challenge. I think everybody struggles with social intelligence, though, which is understanding your impact on others. Mm. And so that's something that as leaders rise up higher and higher in the organization, the social intelligence becomes really important, because it's hard to know what your impact is the farther away you get from people. And you have that leader impact where everything is bigger because you're the leader and you're, you know, your voice is louder, everything is amplified. So it's a little bit harder to understand that. And that's a work a lot of coaches are really working on with the C-suite leaders.
I remember years ago, my woman, vice president, and she said to me, people, as I was trying to grow in the organization, she's like, people are watching you. And she's like, whether it's people above you who are seeing if you have the ability to move on to the next step, she's like, but people at your level and lower, they're watching you. Like, they're learning from you, they're judging you, good or bad, you know. And I'll never forget her saying that to me. I was like so taken aback by it, because of course it's true, but you don't think about it. Like, yeah, people are watching you and they're making opinions based on your presence and how you're showing up and how you're communicating. But, you know, I think it's something that after she said that to me, I was more aware of. And sometimes it's a little weird, but I kept that. And especially as I continue to grow in roles, and especially, you know, higher level leadership, it's like, okay, I need to be a good example and I need to make sure that I didn't roll my eyes in a meeting or, you know, just like those little things that you often take for granted, or just that's what adds up to how you're representing yourself and how people talk about you. I think it's so important. It's easy to get hung up on the stuff that maybe isn't as relevant to, you know, that part of it, but just knowing like, okay, those little things all add up of how you talk in a meeting and how you cut in or disorganize or how you cut somebody off. It's all part of it. So
it's really important to understand that.
You made a point, and actually it was perfect timing, because I got an email from you today about people pleasing and how our schedule is often run by the ability that we can't say no and the busyness of time. So let's talk a little bit about that whole busyness trap in the people pleasing piece that I think women tend to fall into.
Yeah, in my research, I saw that this was something that really held women back, that they weren't always aware of. It wasn't something that women were asking me for, but it was something that I witnessed. And so I made a whole module in my program that's actually one of people's favorite work, because we tend to put so much on our plate. And I think that people pleasing is a big part of that, that we have a hard time saying no. Is, you know, we feel an incredible pressure to say yes to things, for people to like us, to women are socialized to be helpful, pleasing, and nice. And there's a certain amount of that that we really have to actually do in the workplace to be successful. And so figuring out how much is enough is really the trick here. And so there's three unhelpful habits, I call them. People pleasing, perfectionism, and overvaluing expertise. And the overvaluing expertise piece is, oh, if I just get a little more education, if I get another certification, if I can just do a better job, then it will be okay. And a lot of times we're putting more on our plate because of that. And we might, you know, have volunteering, we might have, you know, extra school, you know, and maybe we're not learning the right things even, but we're trying harder and harder trying to get there. And
so perfectionism, how do we control that?
Perfectionism is, and so to define that one is just that going, it's important to do a good job, but going to the nth degree on things, that can actually really reduce your followership because people don't want to work for a leader that they can never please. And so that can be a huge problem. And you can, you know, this is something I've suffered with myself, and I've lost great vendors because of it. And, you know, I had big lessons of like, how much is enough? Because we aren't really, we know we have to do more, but we don't really know where that upper limit is and what's enough. So how to get over that? That's a really good question. So my advice is to figure out what's really important for you, to shift from being perfect to excellent, and to learn how to say no in a way that will keep the doors open and not shut them.
That's really good. And even from a priority standpoint, right? Like I can think of, I mean, I've done it myself too, where you feel like if you're producing so much and you're involved in so much, it shows your value or shows your worth. And especially I think earlier in your career, when you're trying to prove yourself, like, it's just like, yep, I'll do that. I'll take that on. You know, and it's just that constant yes. And that, first of all, you're probably not going to do anything great because you have too many things going on. But at the end of the day, then you just become this workhorse. And that's kind of where people keep you. They kind of like hold you at that position versus being able to think bigger or think strategically.
This is a big problem with the women that I work with, because I tend to work with women at the director and VP level who want to move up, and they'll get stuck at their level because they're so valuable where they are. And they're not taking the time. They're working too hard in the job, and they're not working on their career. And they're not taking the time to create the relationships that they need to move up to the next level. And so it's really important.
Interesting. And that's a very different skill set, right? Like, I think there's been times mm-hmm. in my career where you see somebody who's really good at executing and doing tasks. And that's great. You need those people, but that might not be the same person who can lead a team, think strategically, connect the dots, go out and work on their career. So there's kind of two different skill sets. And sometimes I think you can transfer those, you know, move to the next level, but then sometimes it's not. And that's okay too. But I think it's trying to figure out where you want to grow and what you want to do.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, figuring out if you like being the doer or the leader is an important step, because if you don't value leading, you should not move up in that way. You can move up in different ways and master your craft, but it's, you know, it's helpful to figure out if you want to be in leadership or not for the love of leadership.
Right.
Because if you don't love it, oh, it's going to be miserable.
Yeah, don't do it for the title. Don't do it for the money, right?
No.
Like, you're going to be miserable. There's a lot that comes on with leading a team or, you know, having more responsibility. I think sometimes people forget that part. They're like, oh, more money. That sounds good.
Yeah. But if you don't like working with humans and you don't like problem solving, then you're going to get burned out.
Exactly. So how do we think bigger, and how do we have that permission to expand and grow? Sort of back to the snake.
Yeah, thinking bigger is a continual practice in my mind. It's something that you always have to be thinking about. One of the things that's a really great habit to do is, I call it daily wins journaling. And just at the end of every day, I'm an advocate of planning your day at the end, you know, planning your next day at the end of the day. That's how I sleep well every night. But also in that process, writing down 3, maybe 5 things that are going well, things that went well today. It's incredibly confidence building to day after day after day look at what you did well. And we so rarely do that. We accomplish something and then we run on to the next thing without even a moment's, you know, thought about how did I do that? What was it that I brought to this? And, you know, just stopping to think about that every day really helps you to start believing in yourself and believing in what you can do. And one saying that I love to remember is, confidence doesn't mean that I know how to do it all. Confidence means that I'm going to be able to figure it out when I get there.
I love that. That's great. And you said you write those down, right? That's like you're writing your wins down. I think that's really important. And it's funny because that just reminded me, early in my career, I had a boss who told me to start a victory folder. And this is maybe when everything wasn't so digital. But then I did have it on an email at some point where, whether maybe it was a nice email somebody sent to you saying great job on this project or just something that was positive, I put it in this folder, whether it was, you know, paper folder or email. And I would just kind of do it as I went. And then every once in a while, maybe if you're having a bad day, I'd pick it up and be like, oh, okay, I don't suck. It was just sort of that, like, because you're right, we're moving so quickly and we forget those wins and we forget those victories. So I love the idea of doing that on a daily basis, because there's always something. But I think that's great to think about it and then also write it down, because that goes back to that confidence building, and we all need to focus on building the confidence.
You know, I love that, because one of the things that I actually even advocate is making a notebook with your victories. And, nice. You know, if it's an email, you can print it out and put it yep. in there, but it's something that you can just flip through on those days where everything seems to be going wrong and you need that reminder, and it's just right there and you can just take it off the shelf and look at it. And not, you know, like having it all pre-compiled is really important. And one of the other things that I like to recommend is to keep track of your wins in a separate notebook, so that you've got just page after page mm. after page of things that are going well and that you've done well. And that's really fun to look through it awesome. As well.
So we're going to have a win notebook, and we're going to write down the things that we're doing well. I love that. And we're going to also do the mindset work, right? So those are like our kind of like our things that are very actionable that all yeah. help go back to building that confidence. So those
and
are
if
all
you
great.
Go to my YouTube channel, I do have a really popular meditation that's called Your Future mm-hmm. Self Meditation. And it helps you to visualize what you're going to look like in the future. And it's amazing how it just sort of happens. It starts to come to life when you start to picture yourself more vividly in that future state.
Interesting. I love that. I will definitely check that out. You touched on this a little bit, but I find this super interesting, especially because I have teenage daughters, is the whole gender socialization and kind of breaking the old scripts. So I think we know how we're the pleasers and the helpers, and maybe we're quietly ambitious, but how do we now as adult women, or maybe if we're raising girls, how do we break, and boys too, how do we break some of those gender norms that we've been socialized?
I love how much we're breaking them right now. And like, it's, you know, I've studied a lot about where we came from and, you know, where, you know, how we got to where we are. But I love how much that, you know, things just are really changing and shaking up. And so that's something that, I mean, I've always been one. I was kind of a tomboy growing up. So I've always been one to be pushing all those norms and pushing the envelope. And I was, you know, one to, you know, do crazy sports that weren't typically things women did and, you know, stuff like that. And my aunt was a sprinkler fitter. And, you know, so it's just been, you know, something I've always really enjoyed. And I just think, you know, when it comes to women in STEM and, you know, things like that, my sister's a scientist and mm-hmm. dad's an engineer. So I have, you know, women friends that are engineers, and you know, it's just, don't ever believe that you can't do it, even if it's something that seems weird. There's always a way. There's always somebody else that's done it. If look for the role models, because there are women who have broken every single stereotype. And so look to them and look to see what's possible, rather than looking around you and seeing what everybody else is doing.
That's awesome. So if you could wave your magic wand and change one thing about women in leadership, and especially some of the things that you're dealing with your clients, like what's that one thing that you think if women could change universally, we would be all in a better place?
For me, it's believe that you are more than you are. Believe that you are bigger, that you can do more, because we can all do more. We can all do things that are more impactful and more significant than we're doing today. And even on those days when it feels overwhelming, still know in your heart that you can.
That's awesome. And if you don't feel that, then that's why you should have that book of wins that you can go back and check at. And I love that. So I hope Absolutely. That's a good takeaway. Well, thank you, Jill, for joining us. We could talk all day about this. But if people want to find out more about Sister Smart or want to connect with you, where should we send them to?
Sistersmart.com is our website, and I'm on LinkedIn every day. That's kind of where I hang out the most.
That's where we met. So,
yes, yes. I love LinkedIn, and I put a post up every day for women leaders. And I also have a YouTube channel at Sister Smart Leadership, which has 3 seasons of my podcast. Nice. And so, which is also on Apple and Spotify.
Great. And actually, Loud and Lifted has a new website. So now we can have your bio up on the website, and we're going to link to all those things on your guest profile page. So go directly there or check out loudandliftedpodcast.com, and we'll have all your information and all your links. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me.
A huge thank you to Jill for bringing the clarity, coaching, and confidence building energy. From journaling your wins to reframing your inner dialogue, this episode was packed with practical tools and powerful reminders. If something in this conversation resonates with you, please share it with another woman who needs to hear it. Don't forget to subscribe to Loud and Lifted, follow us on Instagram, and keep showing up loud, lifted, and fully yourself. Until next time.